the future. A dark time for all of us. The internet is gone, destroyed by the evil syndicate so it can build vast wealth and power. All we once knew, lost. But there is a new hope. Using time travel, Agents Jim, George, and Joseph have been sent back in time to gather information from the past and help us fight back against the evil syndicate. Now the plot thickens. Agent George mysteriously disappears, and a new agent named Jason emerges. Did the Home Office remove George? Or did the evil syndicate install Jason? This is the continuing mission of the crispy coated robots, and it must succeed. Hey, it's Jim.
Hey, it's Joseph.
Hey, it's Jason.
The whole crew is here. We're crispy coated robots. On to the next episode, which is the best movie soundtracks of all times. Mm-hmm. Those albums that just...
We got them.
And sometimes the soundtrack lasted a lot longer than the movie. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, let's catch up with the crew. Joseph, what's on your mind?
Excited about Netflix's latest documentary, The Greatest Night in Pop.
You took mine, Joseph.
Either of you seen? Oh, you, Jim, I was excited. I asked Jim if he saw it. I guess you saw it, Jim. Is it not like so brilliantly good? I'm excited about this thing.
It is brilliantly good. And I like the fact that they, because they did a documentary at the beginning when you bought the first time, yes, 85 with Jane Fonda, super right, sugar-coated. Everybody was in love. Everybody had a great time.
It was like it had that filter of glamour shots.
Yeah,
you know, it was so terrible. Yeah. It was so terrible.
But it's some exercising in the middle.
Yeah, and they don't have like the disgruntled face of Kenny Rogers at 5 o'clock in the morning. Or the best part that I think that you and I love, Joseph, was, and we always heard about this, we always read about it, but no one really actually showed the footage of Waylon Jennings walking out when he said, "This good old boy don't sing Swahili.
I don't sing no Swahili."
Well, you know, and that's the great thing, because it really does shed light on just the monumental task of this whole event. I mean, these guys went to an awards show, especially, let's first talk about the unsung hero here. Okay, yes. Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie. Just the long-suffering amazing. Lionel Richie, yeah.
Just amazing. I mean, he hosts a freaking award show, and then goes and does this. He writes the song, you know, he and Michael do, because Stevie forgets.
Yeah, he shows up, hey, let's write the song. The fact that I like him writing the song is he was terrorized by Michael Jackson's snake.
Yes. I mean,
I don't want to pet the monkey. I don't want to bet the snake.
There's so many good things about this, but it really does show, you know, how great, how monumental this event actually was. And, you know, for people to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hang out until 5 o'clock in the morning, getting all this night done
all night long.
Jason, and
Sheila E.
Right.
Poor Sheila E. was used to try to get
that Prince was there. So was amazing even... that they left that in, which you know shows that it was warts and all. And you know, I thought later, well they kind of used everybody to get everybody, but the straight up, let's get Sheila E. trapped here because then Prince will show up. Didn't work out.
And then Huey Lewis.
Wow.
Prince is not here. You're singing his part. And then the good thing about when they called Prince is like he wanted to do a guitar solo, and they're like, this is not the song for it.
So overall, great stuff. Great stuff. That's mine.
Last thing I want to touch upon, and this will be part of my time, is Dylan looking so uncomfortable in the chorus.
Yeah.
And like, you know, this is not what I do. But then at the end, just having
he brings it.
Quincy Jones and all them just kind of like that. That was the clincher for him to have him do.
But how does he bring it? They get Stevie Wonder to do an impression of him singing the song, so he knows how to do the song. How awesome is that?
It just shows you how respected that other artists that, you know, they're just like us. I mean, even with Diana Ross turning to Daryl Hall and saying, I want your autograph. You never thought that would happen. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. But Jason, we are done with our We Are the World time.
No, we're not done yet. I was going to say that Springsteen, they lean on Springsteen so hard. He was, as he said, I was on top of the world at that time.
Yeah.
And for him to fly all the way in from Buffalo, leave a blizzard to make it there. Wow. Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Wow,
so do you just want to add on to that, Jason? You want to add something else?
I'm going to add something else because it's special. Check it out, guys.
Oh, new guitar.
What?
No, a new old guitar. This is the 1984-85 Made in Japan Stratocaster that I bought from Richard Moore. Shout out to Richard. I had it completely restored over the last few months.
Nice.
And look at it. Look how pretty it is.
Like the pink pickup.
Yeah, that's the one that Richard put on. It's a DiMarzio pickup, but like, everything's changed inside. The electronics are beefed up. All the missing screws are back, and it sounds great. So if you have an old guitar, everybody, get out and restore that old guitar.
Give
that guitar some love.
Is that the one you played with us back in the day when we tried to do?
I've had this forever. Sure.
Where we were rejected the talent show when we tried to do our rock version of We Are the World, and they said it doesn't sound like it. We're not going to do it.
I probably had my Ibanez custom for that, but yes, we were all dejected.
We're like, hey, we can all sing We Are the World at the end. Jason figured it out. This doesn't sound like it.
That's
sorry,
awesome.
Jason. I know it's still a sore spot with you. So, let's talking about music, best movie soundtracks. This is pretty much anything. It could be a compilation like The Big Chill. Hopefully, it didn't take anybody's, or it could be all original music. Put together whatever you think made a cultural impact and needs to go in the future, because as we know, the future has been destroyed. Joseph, what is your number five best movie soundtrack?
Coming in number five, 1986. I think it invented the soundtrack, in all honesty, because a lot of people said it was the soundtrack more than the movie. And I'm talking about Top Gun from 1986. Bow, 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 bow. You know, Take My Breath Away was huge. Kenny Loggins, Danger Zone, all that. It was one big MTV video. That's how people describe this movie, and it was all because of the soundtrack. That's why it's my number five.
Well, Joseph, that when you said ball, 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 I thought you were going into Danger Zone, because if you sped that up, it'd probably be the same thing. Ball, 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 ball,
that's true. That is true.
Joseph, but go ahead.
They use the music for Maverick, 20 years later, because everyone just associates this soundtrack so much with, the film. So there you go.
All right, Jason, you're number five.
My number five is The Big Chill. Thank you, Jim, for bringing that up. The Big Chill, which also was a milestone in the development of soundtracks, had a lot of great songs from the 60s, a lot of rhythm and blues tracks. Do you guys know why soundtracks became such a big deal? Do you know why?
No.
Because people bought them. It, you know what a mechanical royalty is?
Yeah.
I may be wrong about this, but like the artists and the manufacturers would get paid per issued piece of music. So like each cassette, ka-ching, each CD, ka-ching, the mechanical reproduction would also get you money in your pocket. So that's why soundtracks became so awesome. And nice. Everybody wants a good soundtrack.
That's true.
Ka-ching. That's true. Big Chill.
Yeah. Big Chill. Okay. Yeah. That was like, of course, Motown. I think the band was on there. Was it
a lot of Motown?
Everything from that time. The movie.
You heard it through the grapevine? Did you hear that through the grapevine?
That was the big boomer thing too. That was nostalgia, because all those guys were in their 30s whenever that came out there. So everyone was like, this is the best music ever.
And you needed something to dance to while you're making salad. I mean, come on.
Very true. My number five soundtrack, sadly, is on a print, not available anymore. And it features everybody from ragtime pianist Yubi Blake, Loretta Lynn trying to do some R&B for the first time in her life, the Silvers, the Spinners, and of course, Bell and James, which Tom Bell was kind of like, back in the 70s, they would assign a soul artist to do soundtracks. Of course, the most famous is Isaac Hayes doing Shaft, Curtis Mayfield doing Superfly.
Ooh.
Well, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh had Tom Bell and the fiend from LA's Team, I think Joseph and I like the most, Doc Severinsen, in his highest trumpet ever.
Yes.
But the soundtrack is so good. Spinners, do it. I mean, I did some research into this, and this album, you know, which is out of print, has been sampled so many times in hip hop that, you know, I always thought that sounds familiar. But a little connection. I worked in radio in Philadelphia, where you know, the Bill and James and all that sound came from. And my producer was a guy named Romance. I think his name was his Hart. And I was like, Hart, that sounds familiar. He said, yeah, my dad is William Hart. He was in the Delphonics. I'm like, what? No, the Romantics. Oh, wow. He was in Romantics. So, but he has a song on here, which kind of was the "I Believe I Can Fly" if I should say Pittsburgh, called "Follow Your Dream." But it's a disco delight. If you can find it, you know, this is out of print, but it is really good. It is the Fish That Say Pittsburgh. I'd still enjoy the movie, but the soundtrack is a lot better than the movie. Loretta Lynn.
I just appreciate. Yeah, good.
Loretta Lynn does R&B. That's all I'll leave on that.
Wow. So. I just love the R. Kelly mentioned in the show today. That was great. Thanks.
Well, there's inspirational song in all these sports movies that are the ones that, you know, usually a slow one.
No, seriously, I'm thanking you for sprinkling that into our podcast. All today. Right. Thank you for bringing the R. Kelly.
We are now to number four. We'll just move on right now with Joseph. Number four soundtrack, Joseph.
So 2000. The Coen Brothers brings us a soundtrack that actually introduces people to a whole genre of music. I'm talking about "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" I love this. This is, you know, Alison Krauss, you know, blues icon, bluegrass icon. Alison Krauss gives us the earworm. "I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow." This is a great soundtrack. I mean, it is one of those things that it's almost like, wow, this is a great music that you need to be exposed to, and they did it with a movie. I think,
and it's an experience outside of the movie. If you just listen to the soundtrack, you become a Dapper Dan man.
You absolutely become a Dapper Dan man. That's absolutely it. So my number four is "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?"
Very nice. Jason, your number four.
My number four is Boogie Nights, only because of the inclusion of Sister Christian. That's not true. The whole thing is great. I love Magnin and Steele in it. I love just the whole progression of the movie is very Scorsese-esque in how he uses music. But the use of Sister Christian when they're at that house and the firecrackers are going off. I mean, scene. What a scene. Boogie Nights, the soundtrack. Track the movie. It's a great soundtrack.
All right. So we're kind of on the same. Our number fours are kind of the same here, except for, well, you and I, Jason, because mine's kind of the same thing. It is the Forrest Gump soundtrack, which follows his life. It's pretty much, like you said, Scorsese-esque, and it follows his whole life. So you're going from Elvis's Hound Dog to Willie Nelson's On the Road Again. And the use of these songs, because sometimes they're just used in like 30-second, especially during the running segment, which was, I thought was the most...
Jackson Brown, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Seeing it from the first for the first time, I thought, where's... I just started running. And you have all these great running songs. I mean, you have like, you know, Against the Wind.
Yep.
It Keeps You Running, you know, and then... And I think it was super clever use of music. I like when he plays ping pong to "Joy to the World." It just gives you kind of a good feeling. So
the songs they use when he's in Vietnam are perfect.
Yeah,
absolutely perfect.
And that's kind of like funny because when Ben Stiller did Tropic Thunder, he mentioned that all these songs are used in these scenes, like Jimi Hendrix, Along the Watchtower. Of course, Buffalo Springfield is used in every... In fact, I think he even used that in the Tropic Thunder trailer, the Buffalo Springfield.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because it's so associated with Vietnam scenes. Something happening here. So that is my number four. On now to your number three, Joseph.
Well, my number three, it is the soundtrack. The soundtrack, more than the movie, it is the soundtrack. It is something that everyone's had in their album catalog. You cannot deny it. Its greatness. I'm talking about 1977 Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah,
my
number one.
This is my number four.
Yeah, it's huge. Number three. I mean, I think when you talk about soundtracks and all that, you know, this is one of the definitive ones out there. So I'm gonna let you guys talk about it because it's so great.
I want to just throw in that one of the enduring awesome qualities of it is Barry Gibb played Glastonbury in 2017, and he puts on a show where he plays a lot of the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. And it's funny, he, when he's performing, he's almost like, he's almost apologizing that he's playing these songs that he's played so many times in his life. And the crowd is going nuts. And no matter what the age of the crowd, everybody knows these songs. And he ended up saying in an interview later that it was one of the greatest nights of his life, because this assemblage of almost 100,000 people are singing right along with him. And it's great. It's the soundtrack of a whole generation.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I think people knew, even though they try to like, I don't like disco. I think Alice Cooper in an interview said, hey, I tried to be this hard kind of like, you know, scary guy. And I'm in 77. I'm in my car listening to Saturday Night Fever. So, I mean, you can't really deny the music on it, especially that there's like two sides I consider. And my mom had the album and the old pull out, you know, the ones that have the pictures of all the artists and they're in the little kind of vignettes. But there's definitely the Bee Gees side with, you know, Staying Alive, Night Fever, you know, and You Should Be Dancing, which was on the album before, which was Children of the
That's
World.
Right. It was Bee Gees' one.
But the whole soundtrack, even you know, they give songs to Yvonne Elliman, If I Can't Have You, More Than a Woman by Travers, which they have their version on the album too. How Deep Is Your Love, one of the greatest like love songs of all time.
Great.
And More Than a Woman.
More. And the thing about it is too, like Night Fever, I think it's very overlooked, but you listen to the just the chorus and everything going on there. But amazing soundtrack. That's why it's my number one, and the cultural impact. Because it was for, that's why people got sick of it and there was a backlash, because it was on the charts, I remember.
But it still resonates. Years. Just this past year, John Travolta did a commercial, I think, for Capital One, which could sponsor this podcast if they want to. and he was Santa Claus walking down the street with that walk. And you could tell by the way he used his walk, he was a Capital One man. There it was.
All right, Jason. So that was your number three?
No, that was my number four.
Okay. Wait.
Wait, that was my number three.
Excuse me, it was my number two. I'm
math challenge. I was about to say, I'm like, are we going back in time here?
Did I miss something? I was about to say, wait a minute.
All right, so what's your number three?
My number three continues this track that we're having with Saturday Night Fever. I'm switching to soundtracks that were, you know, crucial to the movie and used within the movie in a way that can't be denied. And I'm talking about a movie that... was great when Joseph and I saw it. I had the time of my life, I think. And I learned that you don't put baby in the corner. I'm talking about Dirty Dancing. Great soundtrack.
It is
number soundtrack. One hits from it, and just a really fun movie. And how cute was Jennifer Grey? Oh my God.
Patrick like Swayze. Let's talk about Patrick Swayze.
She's like the wind. I mean,
he just, you know, that was a throw-in song. That was not originally scheduled to be in that album. And they were like, I got a song here, and all that goes on to be number one, you know?
That's right.
It's
so many good songs. Hungry Eyes. I've Had the Time of My Life, of course. Just a great, great fun soundtrack. It's a great movie, too. If you haven't seen Dirty Dancing, it's time to turn it back on again.
All right. My number three is another one of those compilations. This is the first time I heard about movie soundtracks. I saw it at one of my friend's house. I think I must have been like, six or seven. It had a diner waitress with this carrying food, and you unfold it. It was the top part of her body. You unfold it and you got the bottom part of her body, and it was the American Graffiti soundtrack, which features 41 songs George Lucas had going through this movie, which of course it all takes place in one night, which and you have Wolfman Jack on this radio station it was listened to, so you have the songs you're hearing in different things. But this soundtrack had every hit from that 1962 era, the, you know, going back to the 50s that would be played on the radio at that time. So it kind of was one of the first to do this whole, let's use pop music and really create a mood here. And I love the way it ends the movie with All Summer Long by the Beach Boys telling us where all the characters ended up. But the 41 original hits from that era, if you want to get a capsule of that era, that is the soundtrack to go to. First time I found out what a soundtrack was, American Graffiti is my number three. On to number two, Joseph, what you got?
So, you know, this is, I really tried to do soundtracks. You know, my thinking of it was, okay, a soundtrack that's like on its own, not necessarily a compilation, but I had to put this one in there because this compilation touched me so deeply in the sense of like, it brought me back to 1970s whenever I would go to the Nederland Heritage Fair and ride the Tilt-A-World and stuff like that, there was always like these giant speakers that these carnies would put out there, and they would play Foghat, they would play Aerosmith and all that. And I'm talking about 1993's Dazed and Confused. I love this soundtrack because it brought me right back to whenever I was 10 years old. You know, I told you guys that this movie was my life. Literally in Nederland, you know, they would chase down the incoming freshman boys and they would shave their head. They wouldn't paddle them. They would shave their head and no one sued. It was just like the movie said, like the community like supported this kind of thing. We did have, and I mentioned this before, we did have the experience of where they would take the incoming freshman girls and they would dump mayonnaise and make them roll around in oil and all that, and then take them through the car wash. I remember as a kid, my parents going to the car wash so we could watch it. That was our entertainment. But Dazed and Confused, Richard Linklater does such a great job of establishing what were we listening to in the 70s. It's so good. Matthew McConaughey, you know, getting the Aerosmith tickets at the end there in Houston.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, nice stuff. My number two, Dazed and Confused.
My number two, Saturday Night Fever. It's the night to have a fever, Saturday night.
All right. My number two might be the most controversial pick because some people think it's a studio album, but all these songs were featured in the actual movie. I guess if it was a true soundtrack, it would have included Sex Shooter, The Bird, and Jungle Love. But Purple Rain is my selection for number two, with Let's Go Crazy, of course, in there, the hits When Doves Cry, Baby I'm a Star, Would Die for You medley, Take Me With You, when they go out to Lake Minnetonka to purify themselves in the water.
That's right.
But this is the most memorable scene for young boys. But this, of course, Prince, a classic. I remember When Doves Cry being released way before the movie came out and just building that hype. And then when the movie came out, it was crazy. Played the Summit that year too, so it was like the year of Prince. You know, Michael Jackson had 83. Once 84 came around, 84 and 85, Prince, you know.
So there's nothing controversial about this because this is my number one.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay,
this is my number one. I feel like this is the soundtrack. This is the perfect marriage of a soundtrack and a movie of which one's promoting which.
Yeah.
You know, because in all honesty, a lot of people could make an argument of saying that it was the movie that promoted the album more than the album that promoted the movie on this. You know, it was so huge. In that year, if you can remember, Prince came to Houston and played an unscheduled 6 shows in a row. That year in 1984, he was only scheduled to play 2, but he wanted to take a break during the tour and stuff like that. So they just hung out in Houston and he played 4 more shows because Doug Chandler went to all 6 of them.
Wow.
I remember him saying, I'm going back again tonight. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, they opened up another show. This is crazy. I mean, this was so good. This is whenever you knew like Prince, he was at his zenith at this point with it. The movie itself is okay. A little hard to watch. I know my brother, I got this story where my older brother got married and he wanted to go bachelor party. Jason knows I'm not really into the whole strip club scene kind of thing. He went to this all nude one. And tell you, there is a downgrade. There is a huge downgrade when you go all nude. First of all, you have to bring your own alcohol, which is just sketchy as heck, you know. Yeah. But I was so not into this evening because there were these poor women out there. And I felt bad for the men, too. I felt bad for everyone in this scene there, that I went to the corner where there was a television and was watching Purple Rain. And I got in trouble because I turned up the volume to Purple Rain because I wanted to watch the movie instead of the girls. And the bouncer actually came up to me and said, sir, you're supposed to be looking over there. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Wow. So
that's my Purple Rain story.
Well, you know, the biggest accomplishment by Prince that year was the Oscar or the movie, it was having a featured page in the Humble High School yearbook. which was devoted to Prince being in Houston, actually having pictures taken by Doug Chandler. So that was more of the honor for him, I'm sure, than all these other accomplishments.
Well, my number one is not Purple Rain, because that's what led to Under the Cherry Moon, which is terrible. And also because Prince died on my birthday. So I'm just going to say.
Well, actually, we're kind of by you, Jason, because that's Joseph's number one. My number one was Saturday Night Fever. So you're the only one with a number one left.
I have a different number one, is one of my favorite soundtracks, and it's from the Blues Brothers from 1980. And what's awesome about it is because John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd were actually trying to be a blues band, and John Belushi pulls it off. And so the Blues Brothers, the movie delivers just as well. I didn't know what the Katy was, but now I know what she caught the Katy. I think it's a horse it's a train. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Probably a train.
I think it's a train. Everybody needs someone to love. Shake a tail feather. The Blues Brothers. It makes you tap your toes. It makes you get up and dance. It's a great soundtrack. The Blues Brothers.
And let's not forget Theme from Rawhide is on there too. So,
classic. This is Stand by Your Man.
Bob's Country.
This is
Bunker.
One of those things, though, that I felt like I was educated with this movie because I wasn't familiar with the music and didn't realize. Like, I didn't know. This is sad. I'm calling myself out here. I didn't realize who Aretha Franklin was whenever she was in the scene. Until like later, you know, like the significance of having all these, because they used all the legendary artists.
Oh yeah. Matt Guitar Murphy.
Had no idea. I just thought they were regular people singing and dancing and playing music. I didn't realize. Wow.
Ray Charles.
The original.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Johnny Lee Hooker. Ray Charles, I knew him, but you're right. It's crazy. Good stuff.
It's a great soundtrack.
All right. So let's go ahead and just let's review what we've all. My picks were Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, Forrest Gump, American Graffiti, Purple Rain, and Saturday Night Fever. Joseph, yours were?
Yeah. So we agreed, Jim, on two of those there. And so what I had is Top Gun. Bow, 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 bow. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Saturday Night Fever, which is a three-way tie for us. Yep. Dazed and Confused, getting that 70s groove on. And Purple Rain was my number one. So
Purple Rain and Saturday Night Fever are in. Yeah. So, Jason, what is your top five again?
My list was The Big Chill, Boogie Nights, Dirty Dancing, Saturday Night Fever, and the Blues Brothers soundtrack. I'm going to make a pitch for Dirty Dancing. It was also a cultural touchstone at the time.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing.
You're right. So, but yeah, I mean, Top Gun was too. I'm okay with it. Joseph, it's your call on that one.
I like it. No one's going to put Baby in the Corner.
Oh, wow. So we got Dirty Dancing, Saturday Night Fever, and Purple Rain. Any calls for official?
I'm going to put Fish and say Pittsburgh, Jim. I think we got to put it in there.
We got to put something out of print because it creates that demand for it, you know. All right, so we have Fish and say Pittsburgh, American Graffiti, Purple Rain, and Saturday Night Fever. We need one more. Any more pitches from you guys? I'm just happy Fish got in, so I'm done.
You know, I sort of like Dazed and Confused. Like I said, it was a personal thing for me.
It's a great one.
You know,
it was a really good one. It captured the time, and it was really good in the movie, so I'm fine with that.
Pretty authentic. Okay, well, good.
All right, easy. So Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, Purple Rain, Saturday Night Fever, Dirty Dancing, and the last one I forgot already, what a bad memory, is Dazed and Confused. I was dazed and confused. All right, so that wraps it up for today. CrispyCoaterRobots.com. Go there for any official information you need about the show. We're back, of course, with another show. Every Tuesday, we release shows with this podcast. So thank you so much for listening. Anything to add, anybody?
Bow, 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 bow.
Wait till the end. Okay. Here, I'll tell you what. I'll cue you. I'll say the tagline. You do it in the middle. So remember, there's always tomorrow.
Bow, 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 bow.
Bow, bow. Bow, bow. Devil's American Graffiti also. Bow, 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 bow.